Done. It is now 9:30.
Good morning. Let's see if I can get my, Okay. Well, it's the Christmas season, everybody. Good morning, and let's get started with roll call, Cleo.
Director Hoffman?
Present.
Director Cox? Director Cox? Chair Page?
Yes, I'm here, and then Director Cox, I'm sure, is shows are online, but
okay, directors in remote, we have Limbaugh, West, and Ramirez. Consultants, we have Brianna Schultz from Rams. Presenting staff, we have General Manager Adnan Anabtawi and Lauren Warham.
Okay, so let's get an approval of the agenda.
Looks good, thank you.
Okay. Is Director Cox on yet? Looks like she's trying. So we'll go ahead and move on.
I am here.
Okay.
Can you hear me, Michael?
Yes, and are you good with the agenda?
Yes.
Okay. So now we're going to go to the meeting summary of the last meeting, which was October 7th. Kathy, you good with that?
Yes, thank you.
I am, Director Cox.
I'm good.
Okay. Now on to item number four, and we're moving on to the finance reports. General Manager or Carrie, anyone want to make any comments?
These are just the basic financial reports that we have, so unless you have any questions.
Okay. Any questions?
I had no questions.
Well, then we are quickly moving on to item number five, which is workshop, which is the fiscal year ending June 30th, and we're getting an annual comprehensive financial report. Carrie, are you teeing this off, or is Adnan?
Yeah, no, I can go ahead and introduce. This is Brianna Schultz that we have online today. There are external auditors, and she's here to present the audit and to just go over the process. You know, we've worked really closely with them over the last couple of months. So, but yeah, if you want to go ahead and Brianna, that would be great.
Sure. Can everyone hear me? First of all, is my sound okay?
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome. Okay. Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you for having me. I am Brianna Schultz. I am the engagement partner on Mojave's 2025 annual financial audit. And I just have a quick slideshow for you folks. So I'm just going to indicate, you can go ahead and move to the next slide. I'll just give you a high-level overview here. So starting with the responsibilities of RAMS as the auditors. So we're conducting our audit in accordance with a few different oversights here. And so they both go by the acronym of GAS. So there is Generally Accepted Auditing Standards, GAAS. And then there's Government Auditing Standards, GAS, which is a little bit more specific as far as internal control testing and certain compliance aspects. And ultimately, our job is to plan our audit to be able to express an opinion as to whether the financial statements that you have in your agenda here are reasonably stated and in all material respects in conformity with GAS. And I always like to emphasize here that we are here to provide reasonable, not absolute assurance that those financial statements are not materially misstated. And next slide, please. So the audit process kind of goes in three phases. And so the interim phase is where we're really focusing.
Excuse me for a second. Is there a possibility? I'm assuming it's the in here, but I'm having trouble. I'm hearing, but it's not clear. Trevor, is there anything that we can do? Is it on our end or?
I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, Brianna, it looks like maybe you're dialed in with a phone, but you're using the computer for the video. And if that's the case, the phone has a limiting factor with audio fidelity.
We can certainly hear it, but it's just not quite as clear as, and I guess because I'm getting old, I need it to be just a little bit clearer. Oh, and Tony just said phone, it's not clear to him either.
Okay, is it any better now?
Sounds like you're talking far away.
Yeah, I mean, Brianna, again, we can hear you. It's just not as clear as some of us might need it.
I'm sorry. Okay, I had this issue last year as well, and it might be just a go-to meeting setting that I don't know how to...
Yeah, on our end, it shows that you're muted, so I kind of assumed you were dialed in with a phone, and I'm not sure what that means. I haven't seen that issue before.
Oh, interesting. Okay, no, I'm on the computer, but I will just try to speak louder. Luckily, I'm home alone.
Thank you, Brianna.
I'm so sorry about that. Okay, so the phases of our audit is threefold. So the interim phase of our audit is really when we're just looking at the internal controls and the processes. We're not looking into numbers just yet. And so we're looking into bank reconciliations. Are they being prepared and reviewed in a timely manner and reconciling to zero? Are inventory records being maintained? Are capital assets and AP and AR, is everything getting reconciled as needed and in a timely basis with proper approvals? And I'm happy to report that we had no findings related to internal controls for 2025. Next slide, please. Yeah, so just kind of reiterating. So internal controls just give us a better process for our year-end procedures. So the more that we can rely on solid internal controls, the slightly we're able to change our year-end procedures, and maybe we don't have to dig as deep into all of those balances because we have a solid understanding and testing of the internal controls that support those numbers that go into those processes. Next slide, please. And then the second phase of our audit is the year-end portion, which is in August, a little bit running into September, and that's really when we're looking at the numbers in the financial statements. So we're confirming cash and investment balances, any debt balances, reading the minutes of board meetings. Are there things that the board discussed and approved that does that translate to the records that we're seeing internally? Performing analytical procedures, looking at revenues and expenses, any significant changes from the last year. And as long as we know what that is, then we're comfortable, but maybe digging us into reviewing those records a little bit more. Next slide, please. It doesn't say it, but I'm going to add the third phase of the audit is really the financial statement preparation. So we are helping Carrie and Lauren prepare this annual comprehensive financial report that you have in front of you. And we go through, you know, a couple back and forth. You know, they give us their changes and comments. It goes through a proof and a quality control review within RAM internally. And so a few highlights on that ACFR for this year. There were really no significant changes from the prior year. There were two new GASBs. GASB 101 was related to compensated absences and 102 for risk disclosures. Honestly, it didn't have any significant impact to the agency, and there was no new additional disclosures, no numbers changed in relation to those particular GASB pronouncements. Now, looking ahead to next year, I will warn you there's a bit of significant change coming based on GASB 103 and 104. That's all future. We can, you know, prepare management well in time for that and discuss it next year with you folks. Next slide, please. And ultimately, so the independent auditor's report is really what we're looking for here. And the underlying thing is that we issued an unmodified report. And that's in that paragraph we show in the quotes here. In our opinion, the financial statements referred to above present fairly in all material respects, dot, dot, dot. That's really the highest level of assurance that an audit firm can provide to any government agency or any agency in general that an audit is performed. So, another year of congratulations in order. It was quite a clean and smooth audit, really thanks to your whole finance team. They are just, they're spectacular to work with. I cannot compliment them enough. Honestly, one of my favorite clients to work with. So thank you all for that. Next slide, please, if I have anything else. So there's two other communications that we're required to issue. So one is the SAS 114 letter that goes to the board of directors and kind of really just talks about what I have given you in this presentation, stating that there was no uncorrected misstatement. We had no difficulties working with the agency. We had no disagreements, things of that nature. And then there's a second report, and this is required by government auditing standards. It's a report on the internal controls. If there were any internal control deficiencies, this would be the letter, or non-compliance. This would be the letter where we identify those to the board, but we had none. So it's a very simple 1.5-page report saying that we found nothing, and that is it there. Next slide, please. All right, that concludes the highlights of the audit process. I'm happy to answer any questions pertaining to the audit procedures, if there are any.
Brianna, thank you. I'm going to ask Director Cox first if she has any questions.
No questions. I'm excited that once again we have an unmodified opinion. It speaks to the good work of our staff, so thank you.
Kathy?
I have no questions either, except for great job to our finance department.
Well, I have a comment, statement, and then a question, Brianna. So it's obvious that we've been having these unmodified and just these great audits for quite a long time. A lot of it coincides when Carrie got here. Thank you, Carrie, and the staff that has just really made this happen each year. It's almost like we're going to get this every year and that. But Brianna, what I want to ask, so not so much about the Mojave Water Agency, but when you see these where we're having these unmodified, because most agencies don't have that. There's going to be things they come up with, and I realize we're a small agency, but what is the theme? What is the overriding factor that you see when you're getting these outstanding audits that's there? Is it just leadership from the top saying this is what we want? Mm-hmm. Is it just starting at the very basics and say, let's just make sure we get it right the moment it comes in? What is it that makes the difference that you see? And again, I'm not asking about the Mojave Water Agency. I'm asking in your opinion as you see this different places.
Yeah, that's a great question. I would say it's twofold, and you kind of already hit on them. The first is, right, the tone at the top, and how much does the finance director or the CFO, that level of position, how involved are they in the process, the oversight, the management of their department, and making sure that that department has the adequate resources to not only keep the day-to-day going, but there's monthly tasks, there's quarterly tasks, there's annual tasks, and making sure that everyone has the capacity to complete all of that in an adequate time frame. That's huge, because I would say, sadly, you know, roughly half of the agencies that I'm working with are struggling in that regard because they're just short-staffed. And or it's coupled with starting at the bottom. As the transactions are coming in, is it done in a timely manner and is it done correctly? A big hiccup that we see in a lot of agencies is when a new ERP accounting software is implemented and, you know, maybe not everyone understands the ins and outs of that system. That's where we usually see some struggles, and it could take years to really overcome that and really learn a system with a solid understanding. So those are kind of the two biggest pieces to the equation, I think.
Well, Brianna, thank you for answering that, and just that makes me see that it's the whole team. I know the staff has changed, and that it does start at the bottom, and those individuals getting it right the first time, and just how much I know I can speak for the board on this, how much we appreciate everyone's effort to make that happen. That we recognize it's just not one person; it's an entire team. Anyone else before we let Brianna go with any other questions you thought of or comments?
Mike, I had one. I think this comes to the board on Thursday, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because of the sound issues today, will she be in person on Thursday?
Unfortunately, I will not. I no longer live in the state of California, but I will work with Carrie and IT and get this figured out before then.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. We conclude item number four, that workshop, and move on to item number six, workshop review the fiscal year 2025 mid-year projected budget to June 30th, 2005, audited actuals.
Yeah, so I will be covering the next three items, actually. So for item number six, the mid-year budget to audited actuals review. And good morning, committee members. During the previous item, our independent external audit partner presented the annual audited financial report for the fiscal year ending June 30, 2025. This presentation will focus on those final audited amounts compared to the mid-year projected budget. Total budget to actual revenues, we're in a favorable, slide two, please. I might be a little delayed. Perfect. Total budget to actual revenues, we're in a favorable position by about $10 million, and total expenses were also in a favorable position by about $15 million, resulting in an overall favorable position of about $25 million. The overall actual amount that was deposited into cash reserves for fiscal year 25 was about $50 million, which results in a balance of about $220 million set aside for future planned or restricted capital and operating uses. Actual water transfers of $16 million were billed in June of 2025 based on DWR's final Table A allocation of 50% related to the West Side Agreement. Water transfers were budgeted off a historical average due to the volatility in forecasting. Property taxes are budgeted conservatively. Actuals came in slightly higher than budget by about $2.8 million or 5%. Actual interest revenues are also budgeted conservatively, forecasting both Federal Reserve rate changes and the agency's cash on hand. Actuals came in higher by about $1.7 million or 28%. The Feds have been slower at pricing in cuts than originally anticipated at the budget preparation time. And cash on hand has been higher with delayed capital spending and strong water transfer revenues. Actual grants revenues came in lower than projected, which is due to delayed capital spending. Grants were not lost, but rather moved into the fiscal year 26 budget to match the expected timing of the capital spending. And next slide for expenses. Actual DWR bond and capital expenses came in about $2.2 million less than projected, so a favorable position. DWR's projections continue to be higher than the DWR actuals. Historical actuals of about $7 million that we did experience are consistent with prior years. The negative amount shown is actual water purchases credited by DWR. This amount is estimated by DWR in advance based on water supply allocations, forecast demands, and hydrology, and then determined by actual deliveries in the prior year. Over or under collections in this case, over collected funds in the prior year, are trued up in the current year. Okay, next is pass-through grant expenses. Those are also less than projected, again, due to delayed capital spending to match the expected timing of the capital spending. There were actual capital expenses of about $3 million in fiscal 25, which is due to delays in capital project completion and spending. Primarily, the Mojave River Pipeline Traveling Screen project was delayed to the current fiscal 26 budget. Additionally, the Lucerne pump station recharge monitoring well was determined not to be feasible and did not proceed, and the project is now closed. Next slide, please. So we are currently working with three fiscal years. We are closing out fiscal year 25 with the audited actuals today. Next is the mid-year budget update for fiscal 26, which is coming in February. And finally, we are kicking off the new fiscal 27 budget with various updates anticipated beginning in March through May, with the fiscal 27 budget effective July 1 of 2026. So this item is for review only with no action necessary. And what questions do you have?
Director Cox?
No questions. Very positive presentation. Thank you, Lauren.
I have no questions either.
I don't either. Thank you. It's just so important that we continue to be transparent and talking about these things all the time so there's no surprises, and appreciate it very much. So now we're on.
And thank you for.
Go ahead. No, go ahead. Say that again, Lauren.
I appreciate the feedback. No.
We were talking over each other a second time. I'll be quiet this time, Lauren.
I was only saying that I appreciate the feedback, so thank you for that.
You are welcome. Okay, now on to item number 7, where we're going to look at some updates of the personnel policies and procedures. Lauren, okay, I believe you said this is your item.
Yes, this and then I will do the next item as well, number 8. So there are two proposed updates that we are bringing forward to the board on Thursday to the personnel policies and procedures for the upcoming calendar year 2026. I will walk through the proposed changes, and the red line policy is also attached for review. Next slide.
Sorry, it's not wanting to. There we go.
Thanks, Carrie. This slide is the current section 13.08, retirement health benefits. As advised by a tax attorney, an employment attorney, and general counsel, the proposed updates ensure compliance with IRS and PERS laws and regulations, and to strengthen and clarify language with the board's original intent for the retirement benefit. This slide is the proposed updated section 13.08. PEMCHA is the formal name of the PERS retirement health plan if the retiree chooses our PERS health plan options. We have two tiers of retiree benefit amounts depending on the retirement date. There is a pre and post 2006, so 200 pre and 500 post. The updated policy clarifies, in accordance with IRS law, that reimbursements for non-PEMCHA retirees can only be used for IRS-eligible expenses, which are supported by receipts. We have initiated a health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA, with an independent administrator to oversee the process and compliance. We have been providing communications and educational webinars for staff and retirees for the new HRA administrator, which will go live in early January. The updated policy clarifies that, in accordance with PERS deadlines, that the retiree must officially retire from the agency within 120 days. Finally, the updated policy clarifies that if a retiree reinstates with a new PERS agency, that the individual is no longer officially retired from Mojave, and would officially retire with another PERS agency that the reinstatement occurred. Therefore, Mojave's retiree health contribution would cease upon PERS reinstatement with another agency, and the former retiree is no longer eligible for Mojave's retirement benefit contribution. Okay, the second proposed update is regarding the fixed holidays section. In alignment with federal holiday observances, the agency is proposing to recognize Juneteenth, National Independence Day, as an official paid holiday. This change reflects our commitment to honoring significant moments in American history and ensuring consistency with federal guidelines. And last slide. Staff requests the committee review this item and recommend forwarding to the Board of Directors for approval of the following. Staff recommends the Board of Directors approve updates to the personnel policies and procedures, and I will turn it back over to the committee at this time for any questions.
And I will go to Director Cox.
No questions. I think this is straightforward and aligns better with the changes that we recently made with our HRA.
No questions.
I don't either. Thank you very much. We'll go ahead and send this unanimously on for
Chair Page. This is Adnan. I just want to make the committee aware that we, because of timing issues, we're going to be bringing this to the board on Thursday. We can't add yes. this to consent at this point, but we'll move through. I think Lauren was pretty quick with her pacing, so we'll move through it and on Thursday.
Yeah, that was my
thank you.
Understanding. Okay, thank you. Okay, then with that, we are on to item number 8, discuss approving the payment of the annual member dues for Aqua and Job Advertisement Services for the 2026 calendar year in the amount of $33,220.
This is an annual housekeeping item to continue our membership in Aqua. Next slide. So our Aqua membership includes several valuable benefits, including a voice to influence legislative and regulatory water issues and policy, Aqua JPIA insurance, professional development, and an opportunity to network and connect with other water agencies and services. Next slide. So we're to the recommendation slide already. Staff requests the committee review this item and recommend forwarding to the Board of Directors for approval of the following. Staff recommends the Board of Directors approve the payment of annual member dues and job advertisement services to the Association of California Water Agencies, known as Aqua, in the amount of $33,220 for the 2026 calendar year. And that concludes my presentation. Available for any questions.
No questions.
Director Cox?
No questions.
Okay, then we are sending it again unanimously on to the board. Okay, that was easy. Now let's see about public participation.
There's none.
Okay. General Manager's report?
No additional reports, thank you.
Okay. Any comments, Director Cox?
No comments.
No comments.
Okay. Well, this was easy. When I first looked at this, I thought maybe this would be a little bit longer than it is, but we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.